Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. Inshallah, today we will cover some important aspects of reflection. We will share with you some prophetic traditions which will enable us to reflect upon some important matters. We hope through reflection upon these important matters of our religion, we're able to do more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we move on to the main part of our program, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of writing salawat or writing blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or I could say writing a supplication of blessings for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whosoever writes blessings upon me in a book, as long as my name remains written in that book, angels will continue to seek forgiveness for him," meaning they will supplicate for his forgiveness. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. We often read about or hear about the excellences of sending peace and blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sending gifts of salawat to the prophetic court. In this particular narration, we were reminded that writing salawat, writing this supplication of blessings, this prayer of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even this writing is beneficial for us. How beneficial? That the sinless, innocent creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, they will pray for our forgiveness. And inshallah, when the innocent, sinless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the angels, will pray for our forgiveness, there is hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we shall attain salvation. The heart is a focal point for every believer. If our heart is pure, if the intentions within our hearts are pure intentions, if our emotions, if our feelings towards other believers and towards people generally, if these feelings are positive feelings, there is hope that we will attain blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consideration, or the standard of acceptance rather, is dependent upon the condition of the heart. We have many prophetic traditions and sayings of our pious predecessors which express the importance of the condition of the heart and how in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one's intentions and one's inner state will determine whether he succeeds in the hereafter or he fails in the hereafter. I would like to share with you a famous hadith mentioned in Muslim, where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neither looks at your bodies nor your faces. However, he looks at your hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our bodies nor our faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts. In the commentary of this hadith tradition, I would like to share with you some points mentioned by Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahma, a summary of his points in a commentary of this particular hadith. He mentions that as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, the beauty, the apparent beauty of an individual, or what is deemed as ugliness by the people usually, this is not the standard in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge an individual based upon his natural appearance or his physical appearance. And when you think about this, it's quite obvious, because a person has no real control over his physical appearance, the way he looks. unless obviously he does something to himself, to his body himself. Generally, the appearance of a person is not something which is within his control. The way he was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the way he is in terms of his natural appearance. So this is not a standard of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way people portray themselves in terms of their external state, according to this hadith, this is not the standard of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahmah, he also mentions that wealth that people have, whether people have more money, more wealth or less wealth, this is not the measure of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The measure of acceptance, or what is considered, is the condition of the hearts. What kind of condition or what is in the hearts? Mullah Ali Qari alayhi rahmah, he says, whether the hearts contain certainty, whether the hearts contain certainty or truth or sincerity, or whether there is an element of an intention of ostentation to seek fame, whether the heart is affected by good characteristics, good character traits, or bad character traits. These are the elements of consideration. This is the measure of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the deeds of an individual and the intentions behind those actions. Because as we know, deeds are based upon or judged by intentions. So the importance of actions and the importance of the conditions of the heart, these are the focal points, these are the standards of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in Nihaya that looking, nazar, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking at the creation with mercy or with compassion. And when an expression is used of not looking, that means, or that may represent the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with an individual. Imam Nawawi alayhi rahmah, he writes in commentary of this hadith that taqwa is not just attained from apparent actions or external actions. He says, to have this feeling or this consideration or acceptance of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's heart, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or one being in awe of Him within his heart, being inclined to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within one's heart. When one has all these elements, the feeling which is created by this, taqwa is attained, or piety is attained with this feeling created by all these elements combined. This is the commentary of Imam Nawawi in light of this particular hadith tradition. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah, he mentions in light of this particular hadith tradition that when you have appearances but you do not have character, so the outlook is there or the appearance is there but the real defining character, that is not there. When you have the external but not the internal, again a similar expression with a similar meaning, that you have someone is showing a certain face or certain aspect of himself, but it contradicts his character or what he has within himself. And when wealth does not have any element of charity, sadaqah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look with His mercy, does not look towards the creation or towards that individual with mercy. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah, he also says that this hadith does not mean that only deeds should be looked at and the apparent or the appearance has no consideration at all, because both elements are found in our Sharia. In fact, this is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, just highlighting this particular point mentioned by Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah. It reminds us of the fact that in our Sharia, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has advised us to be presentable. He made a point of people combing their hair, and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself combed his blessed hair, applied oil to his blessed hair. We have the dua from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and what a beautiful dua it is, what a beautiful supplication it is when you look at the mirror. Some people like looking at the mirror because they're almost in love with themselves, and they spend time combing their hair or applying gel to their hair. Women may do the same when they apply their makeup. They have to do that to see what they're doing. But coming back to this point, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam taught us how to look at the mirror and what we should say when we look at the mirror. That beautiful supplication, Allahumma anta hasanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam instructed us to make this supplication or express this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we look at the mirror, oh Allah, you have made my apparent beautiful. Make my inner beautiful too, or make my character beautiful too. So we are, just imagine each time you look at the mirror, instead of worrying about your appearances or your appearance for other people, if you look at the mirror, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and you express this supplication, what a beautiful expression of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is. That we acknowledge the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Any beauty that we have is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting it to us. We should not be arrogant with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Any good that we attain, we should attribute that to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any shortcomings or weaknesses, we must attribute to ourselves. That this is due to the weakness, our personal weakness, that we have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created humankind in such a beautiful form. Where you look at the other beasts that roam around the earth. Among creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made humankind ashraf. We are referred to as ashraful makhluqat. And this excellence over other creation is something that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And one expression of gratitude is, each time you look at the mirror, you express this supplication according to the sunnah, and you hope that through gratitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases blessings for you in that particular aspect, in terms of your physical beauty or in terms of your appearance. And also, generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases blessings for you. Remember, a bad intention can lead to destruction. We know about that famous hadith mentioned in Muslim about those three people who will be judged on the Day of Judgment. One of them will be a martyr, one of them will be a scholarly figure, and one of them will be a generous person who apparently gave charity, gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spent his money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to refer to that particular hadith, not go through the whole account. We know that these three people, the martyr, the scholarly figure, and this generous person on the Day of Judgment, will face destruction. They will be dragged and taken to the fire. Why? Because their deeds would have been for other people. Their deeds will be ostentatious deeds. Giving one's life, nothing is more important than one's life. What more can someone give than his very own life? But because that life is not given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be punished. The scholarly figure, learning sacred knowledge, teaching sacred knowledge, reciting the Quran, but all that was not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Destruction, the one who spent so much of his money thinking that I'm giving charity and I'm spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will have so much reward in the hereafter. All of that is rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is dragged and taken to the fire. This is something that we should reflect upon. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, when he heard about this, when he heard this hadith, he cried so much. He cried so much that it appeared as if he would die, that his soul would depart from his body. That's how much he cried. And then he recited the verse of the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِ مَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. And whosoever desires or intends the life of this world and its adornment, recompense him. So those who desire the life of this world and the adornment of this world, they will get their recompense. They will get what they deserve in return, as was the case for those three people mentioned in that particular hadith. and they shall not be granted less. Whatever they did in this world, or whatever they did in the life of this world, or for the adornment of this world, they will have to face the consequences for this on the Day of Judgment. So the way we are living in this world, if we only desire the life of this world, if we only desire adornment, betterment, ease, comfort in this world, we will have to face the consequences of these desires. These desires are not desires that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer cannot have this love for this world, which predominates his love for the hereafter, which is stronger than his love for the hereafter. A believer will take from this world what he needs, he will fulfill his obligations, but ultimately his focus, his reflection is and should be about the hereafter. And this is what the reminder is. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he cried so much because he understood the reality of ostentation, that how people can spend their entire lives apparently doing good deeds, but because their intention was not right, everything is fruitless for them. There is no reward for them, and to make matters worse for them, they are punished and humiliated in the fire of hell. Some scholars were so afraid when they would consider that famous hadith in Muslim, when they would consider that hadith about those three people and how they will be destroyed because of their ostentation. So some scholars, because of this, were so afraid, they stopped writing their names on their books. So the books that they would write, they would not even write their names on those books, fearing that this may fall into ostentation. This does not mean that if the name of a scholar or the name of an author is on the book, it is ostentatious. We should not be making this judgment. The scholars who did not write their names on their books, it was a personal choice of theirs. It was not an obligation in Sharia. They wanted to save themselves. They wanted to be absolutely certain that what they compiled or what they wrote was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to share with you a very powerful account, an account which will move hearts. If we listen to this account attentively and we reflect upon the lessons that one can learn from this account, it will enable us to remain in the right frame of mind and to maintain the correct mindset when it comes to our religion. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar alayhi rahma reports that a man who was very pious, he would pray tahajjud, he would wake up in the middle of the night to pray, and he was one who would cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that such an individual became my close associate or companion, and he became very close to me. He would often come to see me. He would often sit in my company and he would come to meet me often. The Shaykh said some time passed, I did not see him, I did not meet him. So I inquired about him and I discovered that he was very ill. I went to visit him, and when I saw his state, he was lying down, his eyes almost seemed to be a bluish color, his lips were swollen, his face had become dark. And I advised him to read the kalima, to declare faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to declare, to read the declaration of faith. But he would not respond. After the first attempt, he only saw that the man barely moved and he seemed to be in a kind of unconscious state or semi-conscious state. A second time I tried and I said to him, I advised him to read the kalima. But again, there was no real response. The third time, on the third attempt, he said, if you do not read the kalima now, I will not wash you. I will not give you ghusl. I will not wash your dead body. I will not shroud you and I will not attend, or I will not read your janazah prayer, your funeral prayer. When that man heard this, he opened his eyes and he said, oh my brother Mansur, there is a barrier between me and the kalima, the declaration of faith. So a barrier has been placed between me, meaning it's difficult for me for some reason to read the kalima. I'm unable to do so. The Shaykh said, I responded by saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. And I said to him, where are your prayers? Where is your standing in prayer? All those efforts in worship. Meaning the Shaykh said to him that your efforts in worship to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I had seen. Where is all that? Meaning these elements should have made it easier for you to recite the kalima. So why are you in this state? This is what the shaykh meant. When the man heard this, he said with great regret, those deeds of mine were not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had not done any of those things, the worship, the tahajjud, the crying, all those good deeds. He now told the shaykh that those deeds were not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, I worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that people refer to me as a worshipper and someone who fasts and someone who stands up or wakes up for the tahajjud prayer. So I did these things so that people may acknowledge these actions of mine. And when I would be alone, I would oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by drinking alcohol and doing all kinds of sinful activities. I spent some time in this way until I became ill. I became so ill that I was close to death. When this happened, I started reciting the Quran. I recited the Quran until I reached Surah Yasin. And then I raised the blessed Quran. And I supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O Allah, for the sake of this holy Quran, grant me shifa, cure me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted my supplication and I was cured. But when I recovered from my illness, I began to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. I went back to my transgressions. I became ill again and I was seriously ill again in a very similar condition. This time I thought I would die. I actually thought death is coming to me now. So I supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Quran, grant me shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me shifa again. I was cured and I recovered from this serious illness or a serious illness on a second occasion. He said, but the whispering of the devil and the evil of my nafs, I went back to my evil ways. I went back to my transgressions. And this time I asked for the Quran and I tried to read, but I couldn't read a single letter of the Quran. And that's when I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with me. And I expressed a supplication saying, O Allah, for the sake of this holy scripture, grant me shifa. And that's when I heard an unseen voice say the following, when you were ill, you would repent, and then you would recover, and then you would resort to evil again. When you would cry in your severe illness, after you would regain your strength, you would go back to transgressions. How many calamities you faced, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you salvation. Despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemning evil actions, you resorted to evil ways, and you remained heedless for a long period of time. Did you not fear death? You kept disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite having intelligence. You forgot the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never shivered in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you never cried in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times did you break the promise that you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You forgot every goodness. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar alayhi rahmah, he said, by Allah, when I heard these words of his, meaning when he heard this story of his companion, he said, I cried so much and I left. Sometime later, I received news that he passed away. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good end, because many of those who would fast, who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night, faced a bad end or died in a bad way. These were the words of the Shaykh. For us, we need to reflect in this story. Are there elements of this story which apply to us? Have we become heedless? Have we lost our reflection? Have we become ungrateful? Are we not taking this matter seriously? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our problems are solved, we become heedless again. We only raise our hands. We only express devotion. We only express some kind of sincerity when we are facing calamities. we fail to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is time for us to wake up. It is time for us to reflect. It is time for us to change our ways for the better. It is time for us to adopt real reform, to be people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, who do good actions just for His sake. We must purify our hearts, purify our intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be sincere. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life.